she's in the so-called right party to vote for. So it's like, are you voting for policy or you're voting for a person? So it's all it's that balance that we have to start figuring out, and like people need to start looking a little bit deeper under the surface as well.
At the end of the day, politics are going to politic, and you know that's why we got to keep making music and raising awareness and bringing different vibes to the ground, you know.
Yep.
Like I loved all the music that came out about Black Lives Matter and stuff like that. And some really good stuff comes out, you know. If you look at Marvin Gaye's catalog, you know, his best stuff is revolutionary stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, with politics comes music, you know, with how the world is. Like I absolutely love Marvin Gaye's What's Going On, and you know, Mercy, and all of those songs, you know. So,
yeah. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to LT's, a local Montreal artist who is a fusion hip-hop jazz singer, songwriter, musician. We are going to go to a quick break and we'll come right back. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Never really satisfied, I feel stagnant, whole body paralyzed. Kept looking, but couldn't find a paradigm. But don't worry, homie, I'll be doing fine. This shit is introspective, but lately I feel neglected. I may be harmless, tripping up visions on my perceptions. Okay. I chose to write rhymes instead of choosing electives. Word. But you see, now that was my choice. Chose to do me so I could use my voice. Spread some love so I could speak my mind. Hold on, let's do this one more time for your mind. Word up, two more times for your soul. They know, one more time for your mind. Word up, two more times for your soul. They know. I just wanna chill, kick back, and just smoke my weed.
Smoke my weed.
With some real good friends on the real, oh,
that's all I need.
With the music real loud, like we tryna stay alive.
Stay alive.
When that bass kicks in, like, do you feel that vibe? In a hurry, I hear the birds chirping, but it's only 6:30. The night passes by, but the streets are still dirty. In a concrete jungle where you won't find mercy, won't find no love, just a whole lot of worries. And my heart made of stone, so no, you can't hurt me. Walking through the valley of death, oh, what a journey. Here to see the sunrise, but got hit too early. No reflection in the pond, cause the water too murky. Complicated complex, trying to put a concept. These words are all I got, so don't take them out of context. Like, how do you define the times you're running out of time? When they ask you how you doing and you say you're doing fine, but they look into your why and they know that it's a lie. But they never ever truly know how you feeling inside. So I tell them turn the music up so I can feel alive.
I just want to know.
We're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. I'm in studios with
Renee Jordan.
And on the line, we have LT's local jazz hip-hop musician, singer-songwriter, international touring artist, and just released a new single called Questions. You can check out that video on YouTube. It also has an EP, I believe, because I always get confused between EP and LP.
So EP is just a cut down album. Yeah. I think so EP like is a way that tracks? Artists exactly, and it's like, you know, it's not an album, you know, so you're not putting. I mean, you're putting stuff into it, but you're not putting as much work, I imagine, that you would maybe put in for an album.
Right. And before the break, you spoke a little bit about some of the work that you draw inspiration from, especially Marvin Gaye, his song Mercy, and What's Going On. And since you were on that vein, wanted to ask you, who are your musical inspirations? Like, who do you look to as your guides, so to speak?
So, yeah, definitely, absolutely love Marvin Gaye. I really like his song, I Want You To. That's, so I actually have a playlist on my Spotify that I created of all of the songs that I was really listening to during the creation. And I'll give you some names from there, but I mean, like, my base of music inspiration is, you know, I want to say Jimi Hendrix, absolutely love. And when I mean like bass, these are just artists that music that come get me in another place, because I've lived with that music for so long and stuff like that too. So, you know, off the top of my head, Jay-Z, Jimi Hendrix, I definitely put Marvin Gaye in there. At a point, Eminem, you know, like now I'm not a super fan of his new stuff, but you know, to say that he wasn't a huge influence on me growing up, and you know, his earlier work to me are masterpieces, so you know, definitely throwing M in there.
Miles Davis, the diversity for sure. of your choices. So you have Jay-Z, hip hop icon, Marvin Gaye, R&B, Jimi Hendrix, rock.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I got Miles Davis in there too, for sure.
So you got that jazz in there.
Oh, absolutely. His album Kind of Blue, while I was listening to in CJEP, and that's kind of just the album that, you know, I always have liked the music, you know, but that specific album Kind of Blue, and you know, a lot of beginner jazz people will tell you that too, like that's the go-to famous album, you know. Like, just, man, those riffs on there are just freaking classic. So that specific album just kind of like launched me into like this musical universe of understanding musically different, you know, coming from being a hip-hop head and just listening to R&B and hip-hop and like pop music on the radio. You know, the structure of jazz is different, it's free, it's you know, like liberating, you know, because you know, nevertheless, you know, the hip-hop that's on radio, you know, there's some abstract hip-hop that, you know, in arrangements are different, but you know, the stuff that people push is structurally is the same. So you know, once you start appreciating, you know, there's other music that's like that, you know, some electronic and classic, but specifically you know, those kind of music lack the soul aspect of things, I find. But not all electronic music, because house music is, you know, all about the soul, but definitely the jazz, man. And it kind of, and at that age, that's when I started kind of switching over to more making a jazz oriented hip hop, and like, so you know, listening to Miles kind of just opened me up to, you know, I know quite a few jazzmans now, you know, like I know my trumpet player and my more the old guys, you know. I'm not too up with what's new in jazz. I am though, but like I was listening to Dinner Party the other day from Robert Glasper and Kamizu and Terrence Martin. So yeah, definitely jazz has a huge play, and you know, all of those artists blending in, you know. I have a song called Pain off the EP, which like has a crazy guitar solo at the end, you know, so kind of like that Jimi Hendrix influence comes in there. And you know, and I love to arrange my music, you know. I like to have a lot of sections, like things coming in, coming out, you know. So, and that also comes from listening.
So you actually write the notes that goes behind the music that you're playing, or not really?
Not really, no. Well, I mean, I kind of work with producers closely, And I'm there for the production of kind of everything, you know, like we'll listen to a couple songs that inspire me in the moment and kind of go off that vibe. So that's kind of how we work.
Yeah.
Mm. So you mentioned that some artists, they sort of get into a structure. And like, so usually when you hear them or you listen to a song from them, like if you hear a Drake song come on the radio, you automatically know that it's Drake. If you hear something from like Chris Brown, you know, they all have like a typical flow that goes with their music. Wow. Would you say that your music is not as predictable because your musical tastes are so varied?
No, because I don't think so. Because when I mean free, I mean like non-structured music, like free jazz, because I make hip hop. So no matter what, there's going to be a type of structure in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a type of 16s, right? Maybe it'll be 12 bar and a pre-hook and then a hook, which that's the...
But
that's
the style of your music, will it be like, okay, well, yes, that's an LTs, or are
for
you
sure.
For artists that it's like... Oh, I didn't know that he could do that style, or I didn't know. It's like, let me come up with something a little bit unexpected.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely trying to head there, you know, like that's the goal, you know. But sometimes, you know, it's hard sometimes, you know, to venture out on different sounds. So mm-hmm. Before I start like going crazy and having super like left-sided albums, I'm kind of concentrating on developing a certain sound that is out of the water and original to myself. So
yeah.
To answer your question, yes and no, you know.
Kind of, yeah. My question to though is what made you decide to fuse hip hop and jazz together? Because to my recollection, there are not very many artists that have done that. There's been a big fusion of hip-hop and R&B. I would say Drake had been the kind of almost the pioneer of that, because he was the one who really started singing on...
Well, 50 was doing it, man.
I can't say it was Drake.
I didn't say that Drake started it, but he was a pioneer.
He made it mainstream.
Yeah, in that,
like 50
it really
never got
popular
Drake
around the time when Drake started hitting the airwaves, because he was singing more on his tracks and doing rap at the same time. Like, uh-huh. I find that 50 Cent was more like his rap was a little bit slower and more groovy.
That's true.
But he was still rapping. He wasn't singing.
Drake's really singing on his hooks and rapping in his verses. So that's a big versatility there. Yeah.
Nelly may not have been as serious, but he was singing.
Nelly too. Nelly's serious, man. Nelly's serious.
So yeah. So my question remains: what made you decide to fuse jazz and hip hop together?
I think it just came naturally Jazz is like kind of like the father of like all popular music, like R&B, everything, rock, you know. So, and I think, and hip hop is just so blendable with everything, right? So I think, and it's a straight up direct link. So what's crazy is that like the hip hop culture today kind of like determines what's cool in the world, right? Like, the coolness of everything passes through hip hop, you know.
Yeah.
Same thing with jazz at the time. Like, you know, white people wanted to go on 52nd Street and like, hey, you see those cats tooting their horns? Like jazz was the cool thing, you know, it was the cool. Same thing as hip hop. And, you know, both African American music that started from the streets, both of them, you know. And also both of them also kind of like were put against the wall at the beginning, you know, when kind of free jazz and bebop came out, people were like, what is this, you know, jungle music, you know, and it sounded like jungle music too, but they just couldn't catch it, you know. Same thing with hip hop when, you know, it first came out, like, what is this garbage and all that stuff. So, you know, there's just, so historically they're the same, right? So, and I love everything that's jazz, a lot of jazz and neo soul too, and that kind of realm of music, you know, the D'Angelos of the world. So it's not pure jazz. It's just kind of like, I love music with like blue chords in them, you know,
blue chord?
So like a blue chord is like, is I want to, so a blue chord, I would like to say, is a kind of a chord that you strike that wouldn't be kind of like what you would think, right? Like you would be playing the chords and then normally you would think, oh, this is the next note logically, right? But you hit kind of like something else that's kind of has more of a, like a blue feeling.
Right.
There's a specific place on the chart where you hit it. I wouldn't be able to tell you in the specific notes and chords that are blue notes and blue chords. I do not know them, but I do know the sound, and that's what triggers my ears.
Okay.
And really,
so when you say blue, blue, is it like, is it just a specific note, or does it correlate to like blues music?
So no, it's, I mean, it, yeah, it correlates to blues music, but also all music, right?
Okay.
I'm actually taking singing classes and piano classes, and there's actually a whole chart of color and notes and music, actually.
Wow.
It's like orange and red. Yeah, so you can even like look that up, like a color and music and stuff like mm-hmm. that. And like they all have notes, you know, like certain colors are these notes and like these chords and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Well, that's interesting because I remember our former DJ Sirius used to talk to us about music. And he used to say that there are certain people who can see colors in music. So they see the frequency of colors in music.
Yeah.
He said famously, oh my God, what is his name? Pharrell Williams is somebody mm-hmm. that sees the musical notes and frequencies and colors. So mm-hmm. that's interesting that there's an actual chart of colors that goes
yes.
along with the musical notes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll send it to you. Like yeah. my teacher, like that's one of the first things that my vocal teacher actually sent me. She's like, oh, well, if you're so into music, you should check this out, Music in Colors. Yeah.
And would you say that when you're building your tracks, like you have an intention of how you want the music to hit someone in terms of like the emotional response that you'd like them to have towards it?
That's all I really think music is literally that, right? So even like in your words, right? So like when I read poetry sometimes, that stuff doesn't even make sense sometimes, right? It's like, what am I reading? Like these words are not even making sense, like in literal terms, you know? But it did make me feel something reading that, right?
Yeah.
And I believe that's what music should be, right? Like that's why I'm not, you know, I do make jazz, hip hop, but I'm not against trap and one of these stuck up people that think, you know, music that has less chords and stuff is not it. That music makes me feel a specific feeling, you know, when I listen to it, and that's what music is about. So to answer your question, yes, 1,000,000%, you know, like I do that so much, even like the music to me needs to be made before I write to it, because the music's gonna make me feel a certain way. I'm gonna get the theme of the song, I'm gonna get the words of the song through me listening to the music that I created, you know. So, you know, in retrospect, I do go in, I'm like, you know, I'm aiming to give this feeling, so let's work towards this way. So yes.
So you like to work from the beat to the music to the lyrics, or from the lyrics to the music to the beat?
Yeah, from the beat and the music, you know, I write my lyrics to the music. Yeah.
Okay.
And do you find
interesting?
Have you ever done it the other way around? Where
no,
you compose?
I haven't.
so what would be the challenge in that? Wouldn't that be something interesting to try and do?
I don't think it would be. I mean, yes, because I would not. I don't like, but I don't, because I was gonna write poetry at that point. You know, like
okay.
I'll write a poem. You know,
right.
Yeah.
I'll write like a 2-page poem of beautiful words, you know, if there's no, you know,
I think sometimes it doesn't fit. Like if you write the words before, sometimes mm-hmm. it doesn't fit.
Whereas you can make them fit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I've done that. I've written poetry and people are like, yeah, I want to put that on a beat or on a hook or something. And then listening to the music, I'd have to modify the poem because I like to use certain words and I like to like use
uh-huh.
long words.
Yeah.
And words that have 4 or 5 syllables don't necessarily
yeah.
fit on a
no.
on an 8-bar. and it doesn't, or it doesn't rhyme, it doesn't flow properly. So,
or it takes up the whole bar.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's great. Yeah.
Well, we do have to take a little break. If you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to LT's local Montreal hip hop jazz musician, singer, songwriter. And we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
So, like, what are we really doing? I mean, I don't understand. I don't really want to talk to him, but I do, you know?
No more love letters. Like I swear that I can do better. Had this thought that we were forever, taken by storm, then I lost her in the cold weather. But she's in my heart regardless. We seeking for the light, but mostly only find the darkness. Emotions on my sleeve, just to show you I ain't heartless. We could've bloomed together like these flowers in the garden. But I already told you I ain't writing no more love letters. I guess my pen is running out of ink. My love is something that you can't measure. So go on, tell me what you really think. We could talk about anything. Let's stimulate the moment. Focus on what's important. Like this lust is hella potent. Got me filling up these pages and writing past the margin. I'm going through these phases while my speakers bumping Marvin. They ask me why I'm sensitive. Tell them I'm an artist. Take it how you want it, take it. I'm just being honest. The first time I wrote to her, she never write back. Wrote her a second letter, ask her why she's being like that. Said that she falling in love. It's plain she had to fight that. Because of prior history and shit she couldn't take back. Asked me for a favor, not to write her again. He said we couldn't be lovers, she'd just rather be friends. No more love letters. Like I swear that I can do better. Had a thought that we were forever, taken by storm, then I lost her in the cold weather. But she's in my heart regardless. We're seeking for the light, but mostly only find the darkness. Emotions on my sleeve. Trying to make it here. I took a moment for myself so I can make it clear. I got dreams of a $1 million chandelier. Failure is my only fear, and I will never disappear. Memories and souvenirs, views from the Belvedere. Shout out to my engineer, it's been one hell of a year. Okay. From Montreal to Paris, Portugal to Tokyo, then ended up in Seoul. Sorry I've been busy, but I've been on the road. With a pen and paper, writing music on the go. Oh. Hey, no, you can't stop me from the home of the Maple Leaf, where we play hockey. We're frozen cold winters, where some of us bone sinners and others are bone killers. That bang like gold winners, I'm a real go-getter. With dreams of Coachella and hella mo cheddar, I just don't know better. Like, you can never stop my grind. You can never stop my grind. I'ma take what's mine. I'ma go and take what's mine. I think that I lost my, that I lost my mind.
I think that I lost my mind, 'cause we've been wasting so much time. I think that I lost my mind, 'cause we've been wasting so much time. Time is all we have to make these moments last. Too caught up in the moment, yeah. There's nothing left holding me back. Too caught up in the moment. There's nothing left holding me.
Just wait a minute, peek between the lines. I promise.
time to see the set it straight. Write it down and ventilate. Smoke a little, meditate. I'm hoping that you could relate to pictures that I illustrate. Words that I orchestrate. Emotions that I emulate and moments that I recreate. Okay, homie, you could watch me break it down. I just need a little solo by myself. If you didn't know, well, now you know me now. I was searching for something and never found. On the yellow brick road where the journey is so cold that I promised my heart froze in a blizzard with no snow. Like, now I'm just trying to hold on. I'm just trying to hold on. I'm just trying to hold on.
I think that I lost my mind. Cause we be wasting so much time. I think that I lost my mind. Cause we be wasting so much time. Time is all we have to make these moments last. Too caught up in the moment. There's nothing left holding me back. Too caught up in the moment. There's nothing left holding me.
We're just trying to hold on. Hold on to what we got. Hold on to what we know. And hold on to what we love.
We are back, we are back, we are back for the final segment of the evening. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. I'm in studios with...
Renee Jordan.
And on the line we have LT's, a local hip-hop, jazz musician, singer, songwriter, who's doing big things, has a lot of opinions about what's going on in the world and puts it into his music, and we've been having an amazing conversation. So, brother, it's the end of the night.
Yes.
We I don't know, the time just goes very fast when we're having really engaging conversation. so, like, what where do people get find you? Where do people get in touch with you?
So you guys could follow my Instagram. I'm on there quite often. It's LTEZ, so that's LTEEZ official. You can my Facebook, you know, all the good stuff, you know, it's all on the platform, Spotify, Tidal, you know, iTunes Music. You can find my stuff there. I also got a website that's up. Literally anywhere that you think you can stream music, you can find my stuff.
You know what? I had one last question that was really I was pondering about before. Why the name LTEZ? What does it mean?
So my full name is Lee Terki.
Okay.
So it was kind of like an acronym, and like at the time I had another name when I was beginning to make music, and I was looking for something better. My name at the time, if you're wondering, was TNT. So it was just, you know, not very original. Right. So, and someone's like, yo, man, you need something more researchable. He typed in TNT. He's like, yo, like, they'll never find you here. So, like, ACDC, like, a million covers of TNT. So I was looking for a name, and at that time, I was rapping a lot at that time, and I was listening a lot to Joey Badass, actually. And one of the guys in Pro Era, his name was Capital Steez, killed himself like on Christmas, I think.
Wow.
And I liked his music. And I loved his name, Capital Steez. So I kind of came through. And my name is Lee Tahi. I'm like, well, LTEZ could sound cool. You know, I'm like, it rings nice off the tongue. You know, I make music that's close to myself. So, you know, it's only right that I'm like, you know, that my rap name is close to,
this
to my
is very
name.
Very interesting and very far from what I was thinking.
Okay. What were you thinking?
I don't know, because it's more in the way it sounds, like L, the French word for, like, you know, like for a girl, and tease, like you tease women. I don't know.
You know what? In France, when I go to France, tease en France, quand tu tease, it means to drink.
Okay.
So after my children, tease, elle tease, on va teaser.
They're trying to get you drunk.
Yeah, they did. So, yeah.
Well, LTEZ, it was definitely an interesting conversation that we had, and you're very much so a very in-depth artist that has really got us, like, I think when you said you make people think about things and go into this introspective mode, the conversation really did go there. You know, you made us think a little bit about everything. We look forward to seeing and hearing more of your work in the future. And you did mention that there was one spot that we could go in and see sort of what a live LT's production looks like.
Yeah, so actually, on a couple of days ago.
CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. No boundaries. Feel alive.
Wake up! Wake up!
This is Health on Earth.
Salud en la tierra.
Dinyan en salve.
It's the heart of the world.
Briut faulam.
Pour la santé sur la terre.
Gesund in Welt.
Yinhong esaikai.
Afianzuri duniani.
Saúde para todo mundo.
Manquet en daidaknai.
Bikini monte suri e jokin.
Salamat der jahon.
Zavashas verodi.
Tienkang le shijie.
Apomudin wa sa asiso.
Strovio na jen.
La salute supera.
Health on earth.
Welcome to Health on Earth at CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Francois, and I will be your host for today. Today's show will be about the coronavirus. Let's first start with some news. This morning, 669 new cases were announced in Quebec, as well as 17 deaths. Premier François Legault announced earlier today in a press conference some relief measures that will be taken for COVID during March break. First, indoor pools and ice rink will be able to open, as well as movie theaters in red zones starting February 27. Free swimming practice as well as ice skating will be allowed either individually or from people of the same family, with up to 2 people. But classes or sports competition will still be forbidden. As for movie theaters, the maximum capacity of people allowed will be fixed. Lastly, the curfew will still be maintained. Now, as for COVID vaccines, a new research conducted by an Israeli team found that the Pfizer-BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccine appears to reduce symptomatic coronavirus infections by more than 90% in the real world. The findings, while still preliminary, suggest that the vaccine remains remarkably effective in a mass vaccination campaign outside the carefully controlled condition of a clinical trial. The Clalit Research Institute, part of a large Israeli health system, analyzed data on 1.2 million people, about half of whom had received the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. Researchers compared patients who received the vaccine with similar individuals who hadn't. The rate of symptomatic COVID-19, meaning people who were infected with the COVID and felt sick, decreased by 94%. Among people who received 2 doses of the vaccine, according to a press release from Clalit. The rate of serious illness decreased by 92%. Full detail of the story weren't immediately available, and the research hasn't yet been peer-reviewed either. Still, the findings are considered with data from Pfizer's own vaccine trial, which found that the vaccine conferred 95% protection against COVID-19 patients who were symptomatic. In the Pfizer trial, researchers randomly assigned patients to receive either the vaccine or a placebo. Then they looked to see how many people got sick in each group and found that vaccine sharply reduced illness. Dr. Arik Topol, Executive Vice President of Scripps Research Institute, said this is another important aspect reflected in the Israeli study. It's highly significant, telling us that vaccination in the real world at scale achieves remarkable reduction of severe COVID hospitalizations and fatality, fully validating the randomized trial on mRNA vaccines. Pfizer's study was a randomized controlled trial, the gold standard in clinical research. The Israeli study, on the other hand, was observational, meaning researchers didn't randomly pick who got the vaccine and who didn't. That can pose problems. People who choose to get vaccinated, for example, may also be more likely to take other steps to protect themselves. Researchers said they tried to account for those types of effects. However, observational studies are important because they can offer certain insight into how well vaccines protect people and under real world. So looks that the Pfizer vaccine, even though it was developed in quite fast for a vaccine, like in under a year, looks quite promising and started being distributed here in Canada. And we'll see in the coming weeks how the vaccination is going to go and how many doses we're going to get. So now we're going to go to our main content. So today, the Canadian government, along with Theresa Tam, had a press conference updating the Canadians about the COVID situation in the country and answer some questions by the journalist. So here's what they had to say.
Hello, everyone. Bonjour à toutes et à tous. There have been 826,924 cases of COVID-19 in Canada, including 21,311 deaths. Over the past week, there were on average over 98,000 tests completed daily across Canada, of which 3.1% were positive for COVID-19. Overall, disease activity and severe outcomes are continuing to decline nationally, and there are now less than 35,700 active cases across the country. Over the past week, on average, under 3,050 new cases and 75 deaths were reported daily. In our hospitals, just over 2,700 people with COVID-19 were being treated each day, including 622 in critical care. This steady progress demonstrates that a combination of community-based measures and individual practices works to slow the spread of COVID-19. As long as we can abide by and sustain these measures long enough. This is what the longer range forecast models have been telling us for weeks. And it's thanks to the combined U plus public health effort that we have made crucial progress. But COVID-19 has come back with another twist. In the past 2 months, more contagious new variants have emerged in Canada and now appear in all 10 provinces. Starting with a few travel-related cases in the early weeks, these variants have been smoldering in the background and gaining fuel that now threatens to flare up into a new rapidly spreading blaze. There are now over 540 B117 variants, 33 B1351 variants, and one P1 variant. More worrisome is that at least 4 provinces are reporting evidence of community spread and outbreak activity associated with these faster spreading variants. The rapid rise of cases in a previously well-controlled situation in Newfoundland and Labrador is a testament to how quickly things can change when more contagious variants are introduced. Fortunately, the rapid, decisive public health response by the province is what is needed to stop a variant of concern in its tracks. This is a setback for sure, and no doubt we feel frustrated. But let's not allow that feeling to detract from the progress we've made since the holidays, which puts us in a much better state to deal with this latest hurdle. Because of our efforts, we are entering into a situation that many countries have faced before us in a much better shape. We have lowered infection rates across the country, protected our health system, prevented many severe illnesses, and saved lives. Though we may feel tired and have all suffered losses, collectively, we cannot afford to take the brakes off. We need to protect our progress and keep the runway clear for vaccine programs to expand and begin to work. This virus has shown time and again that what works is a united front, quick action, and sustained effort. There is no time to lose on division. To get over this hurdle, we need to work together from a place of compassion, understanding, and a shared commitment to see things through. This weekend, a group of kids from Ottawa sent in the best Valentine's Day e-card ever. It was a beautiful heart-shaped collage with each kid holding a heart in their hands, thanking us for our work. I would like to pay it forward and share their thanks for the dedication and commitment shown by everyone in Canada. And I know we have what it takes to continue. So let's vanquish the variants and let's do this together. Thank you.
Bonjour à toutes et à tous.
Dr. New speaking. Good afternoon, all. There have been 826,924 cases of COVID-19, including 21,311 deaths. Over the past week, there were on average over 98,000 tests completed daily across Canada, of which 3.1% were positive for COVID-19. Overall, disease activity and severe outcomes are continuing to decline nationally, and there are now fewer than 35,700 active cases. Over the past week, on average, under 3,050 new cases and 75 deaths were reported daily. In our hospitals, just over 2,700 people with COVID-19 were being treated each day, including 622 in critical care. This steady progress demonstrates that a combination of community-based practices and individual practices works to slow the spread of COVID-19. This is what the long-range forecast models have been telling us for weeks, and it's thanks to the combined you and public health that we have made crucial progress. But now COVID-19 has come back with another twist. In the past 2 months, more contagious new variants have emerged in Canada and now appear in all 7 provinces. Starting with a few travel-related cases in the early weeks, these variants have been smoldering in the background and gaining fuel and now threaten to flare up. There are over 540 B117 variants, 33 B1351 variants, and one P1 variant. More worrisome is that at least 4 provinces are reporting evidence of community spread and outbreak activity associated with these faster-spreading variants. The rapid rise of cases in a previously well-controlled situation in Newfoundland and Labrador is a testament to how quickly things can change when more contagious variants are introduced. Fortunately, the rapid, decisive public health response by the province is what is needed to stop a variant of concern in its tracks. Clearly, this has created frustration. But let's not allow that to detract from the progress we've made since the holidays. Because of our efforts, we are entering into a better situation than many countries, we have lowered infection rates across the country, protected our health system, prevented many severe illnesses, and saved lives. Though we may feel tired and have all suffered losses, collectively we cannot afford to take breaks. We need to protect our progress and keep the runway clear for the vaccine programs to expand to begin to work. On several occasions, we have shown that working in a united front helps. We need to remain together. We need to work together with compassion and understanding and a shared commitment to see things through. This past weekend, a group of kids from Ottawa sent in the best Valentine's Day e-card ever. It was a beautiful heart-shaped collage, with each child holding a heart in their hands, thanking us for our work. I'd like to pay it forwards and share their thanks for the dedication and commitment shown by everyone in Canada. And I know we have what it takes to continue. Let's vanquish the variants. Let's do it together. Thank you.
Dr. Tam or Dr. New, yesterday, spoke about the new guidance for the second stage of the vaccination program nationally. I have a couple of questions on that. First of all, you suggest that it needs to be prioritized, or I guess the advisory committee said it needs to be prioritized, including essential workers, but you don't define essential workers. You say that's up to the provinces. I'm wondering how then you see that actually coming into action. We've already seen sort of provinces making their own decisions around, you know, in the first stage. What concerns do you have whether or not the concern around racialized Canadians, vulnerable populations, whether they actually will get the vaccines you suggest they need?
Hello, this is Teresa Tam. I'll take this question first. I think, as I think people have seen, that the NACI, the National Advisory Committee on Immunization, provides the guidance. And to date, I think there's been generally good adherence to some of these guidance by the provinces and territories, which is to really focus on those at the highest risk of severe outcomes and some of those at the highest risk of exposure, such as those taking care of our frontline patients. And personal support workers and others. So you've seen the long-term care facilities and senior homes being prioritized. So I think I've had quite a lot of discussions with chief medical officers of health across the country. They provide input, of course, into their own immunization programs. And I think everybody recognizes that Indigenous communities, individuals who haven't been covered to date, staff of and residents of congregate living settings, adults who are older, up to sort of 60 years of age, and those in racialized and marginalized communities, disproportionately affected should be prioritized. I think that this is a general, from a public health perspective. And then, you know, the NACI lists other essential workers and first responders, and that might depend on where you know, what is in your community, et cetera. NACI does provide some recommendations on which groups are sort of scoped into those areas. But obviously in a local setting, you might have agricultural workers in one setting, but some other essential service in others. So that would be up to the province and territories. But I think that, you know, we'll continue to strive for as much collective coherence as possible, but everybody recognizes those at highest risk.
And can I ask about, today we heard from the NDP suggesting that the vaccine rollout, and perhaps this is for both both Dr. Nguyen and Minister Anand. He suggested that the military ought to be involved in the vaccine rollout beyond just the logistics where you brought in Danny Fortin, to set up sites and to be involved in administering vaccines along with whatever hubs the provincial governments have set up. I'm wondering if you feel that that would, A, be helpful or not, and B, would it help you actually prioritize some of the people that you want to see prioritized in that? In other words, is it a way to operationalize what you want to see happen in the vaccine rollout?
Tonda, it's Dominic. I'll answer part of that question. If Dr. Tam wants to add something, she can. We have been, as a federal government, working with the provinces and territories very collaboratively and effectively, I would argue, in getting ready for the very significant increase of vaccines that will be delivered to Canada over the next number of weeks and the next number of months. General Fortin and others, the public health agency, certainly believe that the provinces have the capacity and the plans to ramp up effectively to deliver these vaccines to the populations in their jurisdiction that they decide to deliver the vaccines to. It properly is a provincial jurisdiction to determine the populations that they'll vaccinate in which sequence. Obviously, they have followed and benefit from the advice of the National Advisory Council and will continue to do so. But if the provinces determine in their own jurisdiction that they need increased assistance from the Government of Canada, if it's Red Cross, if it's military, if it's other surge capacities, obviously the Government of Canada will do whatever we can to support the provinces in those efforts. So the idea that there's some requirement now to have the military set up vaccination sites, the provinces will determine if they need additional assistance. And then, of course, we'll work with the provinces to find the most effective way to do that. The military, as you know, have been available and assisting in some northern and remote communities, in Indigenous communities, and we're working on plans ourselves to ensure that the Indigenous communities are able to effectively and safely receive the vaccines in a timely way. And I think it's only natural to assume the military can play a very effective supporting role in that effort as well. I don't know, Dr. Tam, if you wanted to add something.
Not specifically on the military, but I know that the human resource aspect is not the biggest concern, it appears, from province territories. We have many pharmacists, family doctors, nurse, other health professionals, retired. They're all volunteering and on top of, the Red Cross. And so I think, there are other kind of supports that they may need as well, which Major General Fortin may be able to provide more of those kind of details when he does his technical brief. But that doesn't at the moment appear to be the critical factor.
With respect to the quarantine at hotel, the mandatory quarantine, when will that come into effect? Answer, Minister LeBlanc. You mean for travelers coming into the airports or people coming across the land border? Question, one or the other? Minister LeBlanc, we can get the details, the technical details, from the public health agency. As the Prime Minister announced last week, the obligation to go into quarantine upon arrival at an airport. And with respect to testing at the borders will be increased in the days to come, but we'll get you the exact information. The journalist, next question. My question is for Minister Anand. Now, I know you're not responsible for the approval of AstraZeneca, which is the next one in line, but do you expect it to happen this week, first of all? And secondly, with respect to supply, you talked about some pre-positioning, having some doses ready to roll them out. Do we have those doses in Canada, doses of AstraZeneca?
Merci beaucoup.
Minister Annan speaking. Thank you for the question. And I must say that I do not know when the AstraZeneca approval will come through. Because the process is independent of our work in procurement. With respect to delivery pre-approval, the answer is no. We are in discussions with the supplier on the subject. And with respect to delivery following approval. But there's nothing further to say on that at this point. The discussions are happening right now. And when we have something to share with you, we will do so.
Merci beaucoup.
Thank you very much.
Merci, thank you. We will take a final question. Nous allons prendre une dernière question. Opérateur, c'est à vous.
Thank you. The next question, la prochaine question est de Mackenzie Gray from CTV. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, my first question is for Minister Anand. I'd just like to go back to the first answer you gave in French, Minister, on the Moderna shipments. You said that they're coming every 3 weeks. We're expecting 1.3 million doses before the end of the quarter. If my math is right, and they're coming every 3 weeks, we're only expecting one more shipment after this, which would come on the week of March 15th. So is it fair to expect that on that week that we'll be getting 1.3 million doses from Moderna?
Thank you so much. There are a number of assumptions in your question, and I want to reiterate first and foremost that Moderna has indicated that it will provide the 1.3 million doses prior to the end of March. And on our calculations, after February 22nd, there are potentially two more shipments prior to the end of March. We are seeking a breakdown of the 1.3 million number from Moderna as we speak. And as I have done, and the Public Health Agency of Canada has done, we provide that information to the provinces and territories as soon as we receive it. And indeed, that is one of the ways in which we are upholding our commitment to transparency with regards to these delivery schedules. And this is unprecedented around the world. We are one of the only jurisdictions, if not the only jurisdiction, to provide real-time information. So as soon as we get that information, you will also receive it.
My second question is for Dr. Tam about herd immunity. Dr. Tam, in the past, when we've talked about herd immunity, you've said that potentially between 60 and 70% of Canadians will need to be able to be vaccinated for herd immunity to be achieved in Canada. Dr. Fauci, one of your colleagues in the U.S., has started with that number, but now he's moved up all the way to 90% potentially needed because of the variants that have come in. Considering the new variants that we have right now, what percentage of Canadians need to be vaccinated, in your estimation, for Canada to get herd immunity?
Yeah, and just to reiterate the context around that initial response is that we're still continuously getting new information about the effectiveness of the vaccines. In particular, we are still awaiting information on the effectiveness of the vaccine in reducing asymptomatic infection and transmission. So in many ways, everything that we try to sort of estimate is based on, for example, modeling information. And so that has to be understood that we still waiting for that data. But in general, the more you vaccinate and the highest level of vaccination will achieve better protection for all. So that's the concept. So I think any of the estimates must be taken with a degree of, reality check that we're still waiting for some of that scientific information. Having said that, what Dr. Fauci is saying is that with the variants, if they're more transmissible, you actually are much more likely to need a higher level of vaccine coverage than if you didn't have such transmissible variants. So that is the sort of principle underlying what he's saying. So really is, you know, the message to Canadians is roll up your sleeve when your turn comes and just keep going.
And this is all for today. My name is Francois. I hope you enjoy.
Vaccination against COVID-19 is now underway for priority groups. Visit quebec.ca/COVID-vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence planned for your area and book your appointment online. If necessary, you can also call 1-877-644-4545. Once you've been vaccinated, it's important to continue to protect yourself by following the basic health guidelines. The vaccine, a safe way to protect ourselves. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
More than ever, the simplest gestures are our best protection to fight the virus. That's why we need to continue following basic health measures, such as keeping a 2-meter distance from others, wearing a mask and washing our hands regularly. Avoid travel and non-essential trips. And if you develop symptoms, be sure to get tested promptly and follow self-isolation guidelines. See all of the measures in place at quebec.ca/coronavirus. Let's continue to protect ourselves. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
Good evening. The time round about now on your dial should read 9 p.m. You're listening to Hotel the Blues here on 90.3 CKUT FM, broadcasting from a small wee little house nestled on the side of Montreal's Mont Royal on unceded Mohawk territory. I'm your host, Vishal Ramakrishnan, playing you, my favorite blues hits, associates, and affiliates. To get tonight's program started off, we're going to turn to the OG version. That's right, the original version of Got My Mojo Working, played by Ann Cole. Hope you dig here on 90.3 CKUT FM.